Navasota Zone, Willie 1550 and 98.7. Hello there, everybody. My name is Kenny Graves, and thrilled to have on the phone with me a recording star who has had great success as a solo artist and is part of one of country music's most enduring duos. He's received awards from the CMAs, the ACMs, and has been nominated for 3 Grammy Awards. He's released 14 albums with over 30 singles in total, including 7 top 10s and 2 number 1 hits. He's also a host of Frizzell and Friends TV specials. He's an author, actor, and director. He is David Frizzell, a man of many hats. Hello, David. How are you, sir?
You got to have a lot of hats on there, pal, you know. Well, you got to have a lot of things go. You know what? I'm just glad to see that some radio stations are still playing.
Oh, absolutely. Good. Absolutely.
Grief. This just about stopped anything that we had. All of us artists that got going. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And I was going to ask how you're kind of filling the time these days. Such a busy man, usually.
Well, I tell you what. Luckily, I had some projects that I was working on that I was only being able to work on them when I had time. Now that I got a lot of time, I was able to kind of finish some of them off and kind of excited about being able to do that, actually.
Yes, sir.
So, but now that I've got a lot of that going, I'm ready to. My bus, every time I pass it, it just keeps winking at me. So let's get out of here.
Hopefully sooner rather than later, huh?
Hopefully it won't be too much longer. I know that everybody seems to be working on that, and we'll get out. I can't stand missing that music. I love playing that music.
Well, you're in six.
It just seemed to have been taken away from us a little bit here lately.
And you're now going into your 6th decade of making great music.
You know, I've been at this a while. I remember when I started out working with Big Brother Lefty, and I really miss those days. I was really, really just a young kid when I started working with Lefty way back in the mid 50s. Up to about 1960, I was with him day and night. And we were doing shows with everybody out there, from Johnny Cash to Johnny Horton to Carl Smith, all those great people. And, of course, now we're not doing any of that anymore.
Well, I want to go back to that time, because now I read somewhere, I'm going to ask if this is true or not. It's just one of those things that over time it could have been embellished, but did you hitchhike to California at the age of 12 to get out there to play with Lefty?
Well, we were living in California when I did that, and I did do that. Let me tell you, we were living in just north of Ventura, California, and the Frizzell family. And a little place called Ojai, beautiful place, unbelievably beautiful place. And I went to high school there and all that kind of stuff. But when I was about 16, I walked in and told my mom, I said, I got to, and Lefty lived 60 miles away. We lived in Ojai, just out of Ventura, and Lefty lived just between Northridge and Granada Hills, out of Reseda area, California. So I just packed a little bag, and I had to get over there because Lefty was getting ready to go on a big tour, and he needed some help because it was just him. So there I was, 16, had a driver's license. I fit the bill, man. So I had to get over there and join him, but I did. I hitchhiked over there, and my mama said, "There's nobody here to take you over there." I said, "Mama, don't worry about it. I know how to get there." So I put that thumb out and got over there. And there was a place. I just finished writing a screenplay, and that episode of what happened during that, with me getting over to Lefty to go out with him, is in that screenplay.
Oh, excellent.
But it is real. I did, and I couldn't wait to get over there and start making that music, boy.
Well, you got taught by a master, didn't you?
Well, you know what? There's not a better teacher in the world that I can imagine for what I was wanting to do than Lefty. He was the one. But, you know, he had that kind of a thing about him where he allowed you to do what you could do if you wanted to do it. And he always gave me the chance to help and be a part of what he was doing. What an incredible man. He never, ever, ever, ever told me I couldn't do something. Never told me I couldn't do. He said, "David, you can do anything you want to, you know."
Good big brother.
So
right
I took him. I took him up on it, and, oh, what a lesson. Back in those days, like I say, they was doing shows about every Sunday. You know, I mean, you might be anywhere. Me and Lefty might be anywhere. like on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, something like that. But almost every Sunday during the touring part of the year, there was almost always a package show. And that would be somebody like Johnny Cash would be on there, Johnny Horton, like I mentioned, some of these guys. And Lefty was always a part of those things. I never forget them. I wish they were doing stuff like that again. I'd love to be a part of that kind of thing.
You have such a great story. I loved reading all of it. But you played with your brother, and then after a stint in the Air Force, you came back and had your first top 40 hit in 1970, I Just Can't Help Believin'. And you began headlining some shows in Las Vegas, which kind of helped launch some other country artists there. So how exciting was that time as an artist?
I tell you what, I don't know if you remember a fellow by the name of Jack McFadden. Jack McFadden was Buck Owens' manager. And so when I got out of the Air Force, I started working some with Buck Owens and his organization out of Bakersfield. I came back and I worked with some with Brother Lefty, too, at that time, because he had moved from California to Nashville during the time I went in the service. I tell you what, I was being drafted in the Army. I didn't want to go to the Army, so I joined the Air Force. And I tell you what was so nice about the Air Force, that they allowed me to play music every evening. Every night I was playing music someplace.
You always had people listening, too.
it's just amazing. You do whatever it takes to be able to play that music. And that was always a part of anything I ever wanted to do. And Lefty taught me, you know, how to get on the stage, what to do while I was up there, and how to get off stage. And so he taught me everything, and I bless him every day of my life. I've been blessed in my lifetime because I knew him and I worked with him. And because of him, I got to meet everybody else. And but it's been a heck of a life. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm still out there. Once they let us get back out there, I'm going to be one of the first ones out on that road making that music.
Love to hear that. And then when we got to the early 80s now, you made a great decision to pair up with Shelley West, and I was a big fan of the two of you together. How did that all come about?
You know what? That is an amazing story, really. And my brother Alan, my younger brother Alan, very talented, extremely talented young man, he had went out and started opening shows and leading Dottie West's band. And he'd get out, and then one of those little things happened where him and Shelley got together, and they actually left Nashville and went down to Florida. He tried to sell cars for a little while. That didn't work too well. And then he came out to California where I was working with Buck Owens and all those people out there, and he brought Shelley with him. And then when I heard her sing, I couldn't believe it. She was beautiful, as you already know. And but she could sing, my goodness gracious. And I was trying to help him and her out in California, and there was an opportunity that I saw I was actually going to put him and her together, and for some reason, Alan didn't learn the particular songs or something. We went to Buck Owens' studio to record, so I just did them, and it ended up being me and Shelley on a couple of songs. I sent those songs with me and Shelley on there down to Snuff Garrett. He was doing soundtracks for Clint Eastwood, Burt Reynolds, and those kind of things. And he did a whole album with me and Shelley, and that's where You the Reason God Made Oklahoma came in. And so that's the first thing that me and Shelley did that was just him. But working with her was amazing. She was so good at doing a harmony. She's such a harmony singer. That no matter how I sing it, she'd be right there with me. No matter what I do, she'd be right there with me. And she's an amazing lady. She's an amazing, talented young lady. Just absolutely amazing.
You two together had a lot of success. And the song you mentioned, You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma, everyone knows that one. But nobody seemed to want that song, but you guys recorded it. And Clint Eastwood seemed to have a hand in making that your first number one hit. Can you give us the backstory on that?
You know, I kind of can. After we finished the album with Oklahoma on it, there's some great songs on that first album, too. And but the record label that we had were getting ready to join at first had wanted to do a country division of that record label. But by the time we got the album ready to go, they had changed CEOs in the company, and the new CEO didn't want country music there, so we were left out in the cold. Snuff Garrett took that album and played it for all the other record labels, including Warner Brothers and all of them. And he got turned down by everybody. But in Snuff Garrett's eyes, he could see a marketing strategy with Letty Frizzell, David Frizzell, Dottie West, Shelley West, you know, all of those things. He could just see a great marketing strategy with that thought in mind. And one day, he was him and Snuff Garrett and Clint Eastwood was in Palm Springs at an art show, art gallery show. And on the way back, he said Clint was sitting there and I was sitting in the car. He said, I knew he wasn't going to jump because I was driving 70 miles an hour. He said, I just played him Oklahoma. And he said, after that thing ended, Clint Eastwood said, man, that's a pistol. Let's put that in my next movie. Snuff Garrett said, I'll do you one better. I'll give you half of it if you help me get a record label. So Warner Brothers it was. So right after the movie came out with Oklahoma in two different places in the movie, playing in two different places in the movie, it went number one.
Yeah, and that movie was Any Which Way You Can, which was the follow-up to Every Which Way But Loose. So if you like Philo, Beto, and Clyde, you may need to check that out.
I was just thinking that Clint Eastwood and Snuff Garrett put this thing out, and with Clyde the orangutan, Frizzell and West doing Oklahoma, we had our first number one song.
It was a great movie too, with a great soundtrack.
It was.
They were
putting that kind of thing together on Any Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can, Every Which Way But whatever the name of them are. They had a bunch of country people in all of those movies, especially on the soundtrack. And I mean, Merle Haggard and Clint Eastwood did a song together. And all kinds of beautiful soundtracks came off of Clint Eastwood's movies in those days. So it really gave us a chance to get recognized by millions of people out there.
That's right. We're speaking with David Frizzell, country music heavyweight star. And on the heels of that, around that same time, you found some amazing solo success with one of country music's most memorable songs with I'm Gonna Hire a Wino. What was that trip like?
Oh, man. I tell you what, well, after we had Oklahoma and a few other songs off of that first album, I had made a deal with Snuff when we first got started. I wanted to do the duet stuff, but I also wanted to do some solo stuff. So I made a deal with Snuff. I said, I think it's a great idea to do the duet because of Lefty and Dottie and all of that. I said, it's really good. I said, but I want to do some solo stuff, and so does Shelley. So he said, well, I tell you what, let's do. He said, I think it'd be easier to get you guys out. He said, I'm going to make you guys, you and Shelley, the Sonny and Cher of country music. Man, he nailed me with that. You know what I mean? So he did exactly that. Snuff Garrett, one of the most memorable people in my lifetime, and I'll never forget him. Anyway, so we did that, and then we started looking for songs from my solo album. And so did Shelley. She had a lot of success with her solo albums. You know, I mean, just a lot of great success she had. Matter of fact, the same exact success that I had with mine. I can't just keep saying how talented and incredible she was to work with and be around. She just absolutely was. So we got lucky and got Jose Cuervo, as you probably remember. I don't know why I ended up being drinking songs. Jose Cuervo and Going Higher Wine, I know, all drinking songs. But boy, they sure worked out for us, and I miss her. She retired some years ago, and I sure miss her a lot. But boy, she was incredibly talented lady.
Yes, sir. And you've traveled off the beaten path a little bit and done some other things I'd like to get to. In 2011, you released a long-awaited book called I Love You a Thousand Ways, the Lefty Frizzell Story. So I want to know what the writing process was like for you, because some people love it, some people hate it. How did you take it?
I never heard anybody that hated it, but I know it got CMT Book of the Year, and he got nominated for all kinds of different awards and stuff. But it's Lefty's story. It is completely Lefty's story. Brother, when I wrote the book, I wrote it in the eyes of Lefty. whether he agreed about something or it was right or it was wrong or it was just indifferent, didn't matter to me. I just wanted to write it as if he was writing it. And so every story in there comes from what he told me and what we did together. Every story in there. And of course, the facts are what everybody would know, like how many records, how many number ones he had. I mean, he had 4 in the top 10 at the same time. I mean, you know, nobody does stuff like that anymore. But him and Hank Williams in 1951, Lefty had 4 songs in the top 10. Hank Williams had 3. They did both of those together. Lefty had number 1, number 2, number 4, number 6. And then Hank had 3. So 7 out of the top 10 is not bad, you know.
Unheard of.
Just unheard of. So in the story, I Love You a Thousand Ways, that's where I took the screenplay that I just finished writing. And I'm getting ready. If everything hadn't shut down, we'd have been right on top of it with hopefully a Lefty Frizzell movie of his life.
I'm so
excited about it.
I'd stand in line for a ticket for that one. That's going to be awesome. So the book was a labor of love for you. It was something you took and you got passionate about that project.
Well, I tell you what, when I came to Nashville in 1981 with Oklahoma, I had promised my brother Lefty. Well, I got to go back just a tad. When I was working with Buck Owens, it was probably, I don't know what year it was, particularly when I was talking to Lefty. You know, he passed in 75, so it had to be before then. I called him probably about 1965, 67. I was working with Buck Owens, and he said, David, you need to come to Nashville. Well, he moved out to Nashville in about 1961. And I got out of the service in 1960, and I came back to work with him a little bit, and I was working with Buck Owens. And he kept telling me, he says, David, you want to make a career out of this, you need to come to Nashville. This is where it's at. I said, Lefty, I was in Bakersfield, and I said, Lefty, being in Nashville, you're right, Nashville is no doubt about it. That is the place. It is certainly the place if your name is Lefty Frizzell. If your name is David Frizzell, it's a whole different story, brother. I think the only way I could come to Nashville is with a number one record, because a number one record would open all the doors. If you're coming in without a number one record, then you're just like everybody else. You're trying to get a door open. So I actually came to Nashville when Oklahoma went number one. And I think it went number one April the 11th, I believe, of 81. I came to town when that happened, and I was when I came through the sign that says "Welcome to Nashville." I pulled the car over, and I stopped, and I looked. I don't know why I looked up, but I looked up, and I said, "Just wanted to show you, brother, that I'm a man of my word. Oklahoma's number one, and here I am." So I came on in into town, and it really did work for me. Everybody was on our side, me and Shelley. And anytime her and I did something, it was just a great thing to do. So that's how it all happened. But that's how we got to town, how we got to Nashville. And Lefty is the cause of just about everything, you know, one way or another. But everything that I did, even back in those days, I introduced him to you know, me and Brother Allen worked at a big tour there. About 1973, me and Brother Allen did a big tour with Brother Lefty up through the Northwest. And Lefty was the cause of everything, and especially this book. Everything about this book. I hope you get a chance to read it. If you don't, I'll send you one.
Deal. I'm looking forward to the screenplay. That ought to be phenomenal. And one last thing before I let you go. I saw you put on there earlier, you're going to be on the Heartland Network on Celebrity Kitchen making drunken chicken. What exactly is drunken chicken?
I got a call to do that show. And I thought, well, I want to do something special, you know. So I called a friend of mine out who had restaurants. He had 5-6 restaurants going at the same time out in Oregon. Gary Clausen is his name. And a friend of mine since about 1962. And so I called him. I said, Gary, I'm getting ready to do a cooking show, and I need a special recipe. Man, he sent me one called Drunken Chicken. And that's the one we did. Oh, and it people still remember it even today. It's a pretty amazing deal.
And that's going to be airing here on the Heartland Network. So check him out on his Facebook page. Also, watch your website. People want to get some of the old albums, the music, any other memorabilia.
Well, we got them all. And my wife, Joanne, she takes care of all of that. And she's got all of that stuff available. But it's davidfrizzell.com. Pretty easy to remember. davidfrizzell.com. And you can find us wherever we're going to be, how we're going. You might not find out exactly how I'm going to get there or we'll get back, but you'll find out where I'm going to be.
Excellent.
And I hope people around the country will join us. And let's get this music started again.
I hope it's sooner rather than later. David Frizzell, a man of many hats, I thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Well, it's my pleasure, buddy, and I just appreciate you guys for keeping that music going out there for all of us. Everybody loves country music, and those of us who actually make it. We appreciate you, buddy, and thanks for keeping that music going.
The pleasure is ours. For the great David Frizzell, I'm Kenny Graves on Willie 1550 and 98.7.